Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Sesternino back here with some bonus content here for this Survivor week, because I love to do interviews to check in with people who are Survivor fans from all different forms of podcasts and YouTube channels that are out there. And I was approached by somebody who is a prolific YouTuber who happens to be an RHAP listener also. Her name is Sierra Schultze. She makes content and YouTube videos around fashion and body positivity. And she has an amazing YouTube channel. You should definitely check it out. Check out her main channel. Check out what's going on behind the scenes with Sierra and Steve.
Yes.
Here
oh my
is.
Gosh, you're up to date.
I've been watching videos.
Wow. And to hear that bell live directed at me, I am fangirling. I am just on cloud nine.
Here's
right
another
now.
One.
Oh my gosh.
A new mom just had a baby girl, baby Grace.
Yes.
You so excited to hear your baby's name on Survivor this season?
Yes, I was. And also, I think I manifested it, because the amount of Survivor I watched when I was pregnant is absurd. Mm-hmm. I watched every single season, some twice. At the end of my pregnancy, when I was in, I had like prodromal labor for a couple weeks, I was going through almost a season a day. So,
wow, that's incredible. Your baby has to be a Survivor fan now.
I think so. I think it's going to take a step. It's going to take it to a whole nother level when Jeff says things like, you've been watching Survivor. Survivor's been on since, before you were born. If Survivor goes for another 18 years and Grace goes on Survivor, then it can be.
Yeah.
You've been listening to Survivor since you were in the womb.
Yes, yes. I mean, God willing, Jeff is still doing it at that point in time, 20 years from now. But, I guess, you never look.
You never know.
Amazingly, here you are where soccer has so much grace, you could cry.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just sitting here looking at my skin wondering, am I a potato?
Are you a potato?
I might be.
Yeah. So, Sierra, we're going to definitely talk about some Survivor, but I think that it would be interesting for the listeners to hear a little bit more about what you do in your daily life. You are doing your own YouTube channel, wildly successful, a million subscribers on YouTube, which is incredible.
You'll get there, Rob. We're going to see that gold play button.
I think Grace might be on Survivor before I get to a million. It's been a slower go on YouTube. But tell me about your journey and how you got started.
Yeah, so I've been making content online since about 2015. So it's been 7 years now. Mm-hmm. I started just because I was in college. I was bored. I didn't have a creative outlet. And a couple years later, things started taking off, and it went from just being this fun, creative side project to a business and, my job. And now I have a team around me as well. And so it's just been a really cool experience. And I love making content. My content has nothing to do with Survivor, but I wouldn't say I'm like a secret Survivor fan. Like, I put little Easter eggs in my videos, actually in my my background.
It's like the game within the game, Sierra.
It is, yes. And the viewers can play along at home.
Yes.
I have a candle, like a saint candle, in the background of all my videos with Jeff's face on it. So it's all there.
Yeah.
If you look.
Do people have to write in the comments where the Jeff Probst video versus Probst candle is?
I think that would be a really great strategy mm-hmm. to up engagement. See, Rob, you're already in that million mindset.
Yes, I'm right there. Maybe I should hide something in the background in every video so people can jump in and say, what's on the shelf behind me?
Yeah, put a Wiggler's Wombat hat back there, and whoever spots it first gets it.
Yeah, okay. So can you talk about the kinds of videos that you make on your channel?
Yeah, so I do a lot of fashion. My videos are mainly aimed at like women in their late teens, 20s, 30s, 40s. I even get comments from people who are in their 50s and 60s and are really just discovering this like joy of fashion. And I think for a lot of people and women especially, clothes and fashion and getting dressed has this like weight to it where it brings in our insecurities. We don't want to draw attention to ourselves. And so I really just started documenting my own experience in trying to have fun with fashion. And it's really just kind of snowballed from there.
And Sierra, how did you end up becoming a fan of Survivor?
So I've watched Survivor since I want to say season 3 or 4, which I don't even remember. Yeah. I was probably 3 or 4 back then. Mm-hmm. So as long as I can remember, my family's watched Survivor. I had no idea there was like a step above just being a casual Survivor fan. I thought, you know, I'm a big fan of the show. I watch it every week, talk about it with my family and friends. And then in what season was that? In Second Chances, I was just so invested in the season. I was like, I need more than once a week. This is not enough.
What was it about Second Chances?
You know,
did you have a favorite player?
I had a lot of favorite players on that. I have a whole list we can get into, but I think it was really the gameplay was at like such a different level. And I would sit on the couch with my husband after the show and try to like talk to him about all my theories. And he was just like, slow nod. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yep. And I was like, I need to find people to talk about these theories with. So I found the Survivor Reddit. And from there, I found your podcast. And I have been an avid listener ever since.
Wow. That's incredible. Does your husband follow the show closely or not that much?
He does. He's a casual. But he's a fun casual. He likes to, you know, hear about all the things that are going on. He'll listen. We'll listen to your show in the car all the time. So he's here a little bit.
Yeah. And has your family also all kept up with the show? Is it like a big deal?
Yes. My parents, especially, when I was in labor, my mom got all invested in rewatching the show. And then because she was there with me in the hospital and I'm just watching episode after episode of Survivor. And so after Grace was born, she was like, well, we just started rewatching all the seasons again because.
Yeah. Sierra, did you say that you were watching Survivor while in labor?
Yes.
What's the best season to watch in labor?
You know, I don't know if there's a best because I was just going chronologically. Yeah. So I believe I was watching Blood versus Water 2 around the time that I was getting my epidural.
Yes. So. Okay. I was going to say that there's a couple seasons that you could say are a labor to get through, but we don't need to discuss those.
What was worse, the labor or the labor?
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Incredible backstory of how you got here. How are you feeling about Survivor 42?
You know, I am really liking it. Yeah. I'm kind of torn on the new editing style. On one hand, I really like how the show is like doing those more slow-mo and the close-ups and the behind the scenes and the more like personality focused, backstory focused, showing footage and photos from back home. I really love that.
Yeah.
And I just started watching Australian Survivor and they do that a lot. So I thought that was really cool. But I have to tell you, I think they're getting a little out of hand with the promos.
Yes.
And the Tori fake out.
Yes. Okay. Do you want to talk about the potato?
Let's talk about the potato.
Yes.
I have a lot. I mean, I feel like we could fill this whole podcast with my thoughts on the Beware Advantage because I have a lot.
Yeah, I'm so excited to hear, you know, new takes about Survivor. So please, Sierra.
Okay. So first, with the Tori fake out, I like the idea of it in that, you know, they're like, oh, you thought we spoiled this thing, but we actually didn't because she didn't find it. But the problem is as a viewer, we still thought for sure Tori finds it, so she's not going home. So it still ruins, but it takes some of the drama out of the tribal councils where we know she's not the target.
That's been the argument about the, yes. that, okay, that yes, you tricked us, but you tricked us. I think that if I had to guess, I think what happened was that not everybody, like the person who's editing the opening clip may not be the producer who's editing these other episodes down the line. So the person who's putting together like the opening montage isn't necessarily, well, I know that Swathi goes home and Zach goes home, so it'll be perfectly safe for me to show Tori finding the thing because Tori doesn't find the thing. But like, I think that there was a wire crossed of like, yeah, but we're trying to make people think that Tori's going home in these two other episodes. So it kind of backfired.
Right. And I think maybe that's just like a production communication thing that hopefully yes. they'll iron out. But I think that's exactly it, right? If they had edited the episode to make it seem like someone else was the decoy boo,
yes.
then I wouldn't have minded as much.
Mm-hmm. So do you think about the edit a lot as a person who is always editing videos?
I do. I try not to. There was a time a couple years ago where I was really into Edgic, and I feel like it ruined the show
a little bit
for me. It's
a road to nowhere.
It is. And so I have like shut that down, but still in the back of my brain, I'm like, I don't know, that person's getting a lot of confessionals. Mm-hmm. I don't know that bumbling buffoon music in the background is maybe not a good look for this person.
Yeah. No, I hear the same thing, and I don't really care for Edgic. I mean, it's impossible to notice like, oh, this person's getting a lot. This person, we're hardly seeing it. And I think that last season was like the ultimate like Edgic buster. But, you know, yeah. I think when you really like take a look at like, you know, the real like the graph or the chart of everything and start like counting the confessionals, it's, you know, it's hard. Again, I don't want to yuck anybody's yum, Sierra, but mm-hmm. it's, you know, I find that it tends to, I think, you know, you're going a level beyond where you could find enjoyment with the show.
Yes. And that's actually one of the things that I love so much about your show is I feel like I'm able to really get into the nitty gritty of Survivor without jumping the shark and analyzing it too much.
Yes. Sierra, what a great compliment.
Yeah, this episode is just going to be filled with me complimenting your show. Because
thank you so much. Well, I really find that I try to, you know, yeah, we want to do like the really like deep dive strategy. But I think that also like we have to try to remember to try to have as much fun with Survivor as we possibly can, because that's what it's supposed to be there for. There's so many things that are not fun. You know, let's try to find the fun wherever we can with Survivor.
I love that. I think Survivor's motto should be keep Survivor fun.
Well, that was what Mike White told Jeff Probst of like that Jeff Probst had like this whole system of like fire tokens, like in this other world where they didn't shut down because of COVID. They were ready to go back for season 41 with like an all fire token economy. That was like Mike White was like, who is this for? Is it fun? He said, and Jeff Probst, like they, and now look, I think that we've seen sort of like more fun versions of this new era and less fun versions so far in a season and a half. But yeah, I think that they're doing a good job of finding that line right now.
And with the secret phrases, I think that is like the perfect example of that's fun. Mm-hmm. Like I've kind of a stupid sense of humor. I laugh at dumb things. I find that hysterical. That they are making these Survivor players stand up in front of everyone and say, you know, the another case of the rabbit eating its dinner in the mailbox. Yes. I think it's hysterical.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite player so far in season 42?
So I have a couple, and it's changed a little bit. So my number one favorite, who actually is my winner pick, is Hai.
Yes.
I think he has huge winner upside. I think he's very strategic. He's not making himself too big of a threat. I also was dying in the last episode of him saying that he doesn't really like any of these people. That was iconic.
Mm-hmm.
But then also, I like him as a trio with Lydia and Chanel.
Not Mike.
I like Mike. Actually, he's on my list, but I don't see him as part of the trio. I see him as like, He's going to jump ship at the merge, whatever it ends up being. But I actually do really like Mike because in the first episode, when they were about to introduce him, I took one look at him and thought, I'm not going to like this guy. Stereotypical, macho, big, tough guy. First thing out of his mouth was like, you may look at me and think I'm a stereotypical macho guy, but I'm really not. And I have a big heart and I have this backstory. And it very much like turned my own expectations on its head. And so I find him really endearing.
Yes.
I also love Marianne. I love her. I think she's amazing. She's a lot. But you know who else is a lot, Rob?
Who?
Me.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm a lot. So I get it.
This is relatable.
Yes. I'm like, you know, I would be talking everyone's ear off. I would be driving everyone crazy. So I get it. And before this episode, I also did really like Jonathan, but I'm siding with Marianne on this one. So
okay, this was out. This was a bridge too far this week with Jonathan. What was Marianne and Lindsay? They were talking about that. I was struggling a little bit to follow, and I've watched the episode twice at this point. What they were talking about? Mario Kart.
Yes,
and Marianne is so good at Mario Kart that she plays as her own self.
Me
as her me. Yeah.
So with the Nintendo Switch, and I actually know way too much about this because last year I did a sponsorship with Nintendo Switch, so I got all the talking points.
Yes.
But one of the fun opportunities with Mario Kart 10 on Nintendo Wii, Nintendo Switch,
yeah.
Not Wii.
Yeah. We have it. We have it.
Oh, you do? Yes. Okay, so you don't need the talking points.
But I didn't know you could create. We haven't done that. Create yourself as a character.
Yes, my husband does that. You can create your me so it looks like you, and then you can drive as your me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
So I think Nintendo Switch needs to hit up Marianne because she's educating the consumer on new things about Mario Kart.
Who knew? I had no idea. She says she's so good at it. Yeah.
She is.
Yes. And what'd you think about Jonathan and Marianne? Who was in the wrong there? Did Jonathan enter Marianne's workspace?
I think so. And I think also if you're a 7 foot tall guy, mm-hmm. who's like literally just Thor, you got to be a little bit careful about when you're swinging an axe, because me or Marianne swinging an axe is going to mm-hmm. be a lot different than Jonathan mm-hmm. swinging an axe. Which, speaking of Jonathan,
yes,
have we ever seen someone that's this big of a threat, like a challenge, physical threat on Survivor?
So it's hard to say because there have definitely been people who have been like dominating challenges in the first half of the game, but it'll be interesting to see how he does when the challenges become individual, because those challenges that they run in the second half of the game are not necessarily like the strength based challenges. And so
he can't do puzzles. He said himself.
He said it himself. And I feel like that a lot of times that where people are sort of just like so physical like this, like sometimes they kind of like fade fast, where it's not like that every sort of like big muscly guy on Survivor gets out there and does well. A lot of times they sort of like shut down because they're not getting enough nourishment. But he's been eating.
And I'm surprised we haven't gotten a confessional from him yet of the classic macho, oh, I'm wasting away. I'm used to eating, you know, 10 cartons of eggs in the morning and,
yeah.
you know, basically singing the Gaston number from Beauty and the Beast. We haven't gotten that yet.
Yeah. Well, I guess he has talked about how he's prepared for this. He was on the show Endurance and his dad woke him up from three years old to do pull-ups. So he has been preparing for this like his whole life, and it shows. And he has had like some self-awareness. I thought that it was like a good confessional from him last night to say about how like, look, like I'm you know, this big guy, like nobody's going to take my side if I get into an argument with Marianne, because she's much smaller than me. People are always going to, you know, are going to take her side, but it doesn't change the fact that also he's still that 6'4" guy going into the merge, and it's going to be very hard for him to hide. I know people are looking at him as a shield. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, I don't see how necessarily he's able to like navigate the rest of the game, especially with this particular cast where there are not a lot of other physical threats.
Yeah. And it seems like production tried to put him on the physically weakest tribe to mm-hmm. balance it out.
Yeah.
And we saw that kind of play out in the last few challenges where they're way behind, but it doesn't matter because it's Jonathan and he's mm-hmm. going to come in and he's going to make up for that loss or that, you know, buffer. I just don't think we've ever seen someone who not necessarily is like that good at challenges, but is dragging his tribe to the finish line so consistently.
Yeah, I think it helps also that these are small tribes also, where you have like a big, if this was like a two tribe season where we'd have like eight or, you know, nine person tribes, and then we like wouldn't notice it as much. But like, it's sort of like very funny to watch of this, like a four person tribe where he's just like the dominating force that's sort of like pulling that tribe across the finish line.
Yes, that's such a good point. If he was one of nine, it mm-hmm. wouldn't be as big of a difference. But when he's one of four, like, how do you balance that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm interested to know your thoughts on Lydia, because I was thinking of you, because when I was watching the episode, that we got to see Lydia's backstory on the Shipwheel Island. And it was that Lydia was somebody who was struggling with, body positivity, which I feel like is like what a lot of your content touches on.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I turned to my husband. I was like, oh my gosh, I love this. Like, I just think that is so wonderful and important to show on Survivor. And I think that we got a confessional like that last season from Evie that I thought was really powerful as well. And yeah. I really love that Survivor is kind of drawing that in, because I think we don't necessarily get a lot of representation for different body images, body types, body struggles. And so I thought that was really wonderful to see and to hear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Lydia has been, very fun. She hasn't gotten a lot on the show, but she's been very fun on social media. Yes.
She's so funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's how could you be so hilarious on social media, but then they don't give her anything to say on the show?
Yeah, I'm hoping we get something later. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like, maybe she makes it really far and they're just waiting to mm-hmm. give us that. But I don't know. I'm like, come on, let's get some of this, because Lydia's really funny.
So Lydia went to tribal council this week, and we saw that it was a decision between Daniel and Chanel for the Vati tribe. Do you feel like that they made the right decision to vote out Daniel?
Yeah, but I have a lot of thoughts on this, and I took some notes. So first thing, how was it not just like cut and dry that Daniel's going? Not only did Daniel like blow everything up at their last tribal, yes. but also he's clearly going to jump ship. He doesn't read to me as someone who's like, I am with this. He was trying at tribal to make it seem that way. I am here. I don't care that I'm at the bottom. We're a family. Are you, or are mm-hmm. you going to try to get yourself, further in the game? Cause I would. So I'm shocked that it wasn't just cut and dry. Daniel's going home. When the split vote was read and the tie vote, I was just really shocked.
Mm-hmm.
Then my second thought was, who voted for Mike? Because whoever did essentially sent home whoever got voted out, yeah. right? They may have pulled a Tyson a la Heroes mm-hmm. villains, right?
Yeah.
It would be their fault. And then when we see the votes and it's Chanel, I'm like, girl, you almost sent yourself home.
Well, I guess that she was very concerned that Daniel was going to play the shot in the dark. And so that she was worried about, okay, well, if it's a shot in the dark and then all of a sudden Daniel's votes don't count, well, at least I have my one vote on somebody else. Like, I guess she may have, thought that, okay, I'm going to, So in case it came up where we saw like at a five person tribal council in Survivor 35, Dr. Mike ends up going out because they put all their votes on Ben. Ben played the idol, and Devin Pinto put one vote on to Dr. Mike. And that's why Dr. Mike ends up going home in that right. spot. I think Chanel was thinking the same way, just in case all of the Daniel votes get nullified, whether it's a shot in the dark or he has an idol. Okay, let me have one vote on Mike here in this spot.
And when you bring that up, that makes so much more sense. I wasn't taking mm-hmm. into account the shot in the dark. And that's actually, I do like the shot in the dark in this new era, because it brings in that a little bit of drama, a little bit of spice
mm-hmm.
where she couldn't just say, well, I know he doesn't have an idol, so, he's going home. She felt like, well, what if he plays the shot in the dark and then I go home? I should put an assurance vote. And so it did. It worked. Honestly, all things considered, it kind of worked out best case scenario for Chanel.
Do you think that they should, instead of us having to try to guess what she's doing and then we wait until next week, should there be like, okay, I know we get to see Daniel's final words, but like, should they show us like, and I feel like Australian Survivor does this, like a little bit more of Chanel, like casting her vote. She's like, hey, Mike, this is just an insurance vote on you tonight, because in case Daniel plays the shot in the dark, this is why I'm doing it. Like, otherwise, so many people are sort of like trying to guess, and we're just speculating. We still don't even know what happened.
Right. I think so. But also, I get why they didn't, you know, because then that would maybe mess with the reveal a little bit at Tribal.
I mean, after the vote. So after like, yeah.
Oh, maybe then instead, like putting something in the preview for next week that alludes to why she did that, you know, like maybe her and Mike are arguing and they can get a soundbite of her saying, but I only voted for you because I thought he would play a shot in the dark, you know, something like
We're spitballing. Yeah. Okay. So what do you think is going to happen with the Vati tribe now after this tribal council?
Man, I don't know. This is so interesting going into the merge like this with four people on each of the three tribes. And it's an even split as well. Two men, two women, each tribe.
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah. So it's pretty much as even as it could get.
Yeah, I know. This is a wide open season. Okay. So let me ask you to bring season 41 into this.
Yes.
Do you think that we are going to get the hourglass?
Hourglass. I knew that's where this was going. I think we are. I wish we weren't.
Yes.
The thing with the hourglass is, and I like the amendment that you guys have talked about of it doesn't change if the hourglass smasher is safe or not. I think that's really important. And I hope that they're going to do that, because I think for sure they're doing the hourglass. I think from the Jeff perspective, the production perspective, they probably love that Erica was the one who changed the course of history, rewound time, and then won the show.
Yeah, I think so. That, you know, the person who is responsible for this game shifting move ultimately wins. I'm sure that they were, you know, excited about that in terms of putting the show together. I just know how upset that the Survivor 41 contestants were and still are. If you, you know, talk to Danny today, he would still tell you, okay, that wasn't a twist, it was a lie. So
yeah, I agree.
Yeah. I wonder, you know, how they could do it differently and not take immunity away from, you know, a certain, like a team that just fought to win a challenge.
Yeah, I think what they could do is exactly that, except that the person who is smashing the hourglass has to be unaffected by the decision.
Right.
And then second, it can't be rewinding time to undo a win. I don't think that's right.
Mm-hmm. So what would the hourglass do?
That's where I'm like, I don't really know. Like what, right? What could the hourglass do? What do you think, Rob?
So I wonder, could like they just like not have the challenge and then split the groups up and then put it all on one person who like could send which group do you want to see go to tribal council tonight? And then, you know, I feel like that could create a lot of drama about, you know, OK, if everybody's mad at that person of like, oh, we were safe, why did you screw it up? As opposed to this group won immunity, was safe. I mean, they got a feast also. I think that's why they probably tried to sell themselves on like, okay, well, you got to eat. We didn't take that away.
Yeah, but I think if they could have, they would have. If they could remove the nutrition from rewind time, they would have.
Yeah.
So I think maybe they make it a reward challenge and then the hourglass smasher gets to decide.
Okay. So they'll put the teams into like the reward is the merge feast. Let them play for that. And then, okay. And then you're in these groups. Okay. Now, like hourglass person, you have a decision to make. Okay. Mm-hmm. You get to decide which group goes to tribal council tonight.
Right. Yeah. I think that's the only way to do it. And I think, and I hope they keep tweaking the twist, because I think that's the best way to make it better. I have a proposed tweak for the three-way idol.
Please.
I'm curious to hear your thoughts. So what if with the beware advantage, you only lost your vote if you said the phrase, but if no one says the phrases, the idol is not activated at the merge. You lose it.
Yeah. So I like this. Okay. So And you don't even lose your vote until you say the phrase.
Yes. Saying the phrase is what makes you lose your vote. And you don't have to say the phrase, but there is no. And if you make it to the merge, then the idol's active regardless. If you make it to the merge and not everyone has said their phrases, mm-hmm. the idol's powerless. It's a fake idol.
So somebody would have to sort of like act first and, you know, say their thing to sort of like put themselves out there.
Yes. And also it would take into account tribe dynamics of, okay, I feel safe in my alliance. So I'm going to say my phrase because if I lose my vote, I trust these people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that. I mean, I think it's, you know, we're continuing to improve on what we're doing. I just think that now when we get to season 43, 44, I'm not sure if we'll be able to do the Beware Advantage in the same way because people will know about it.
Yeah. How do you think they could do that?
Well, I think that they could potentially, what if instead of saying something weird, what if you have to do something weird? Like what, you know, what if you like have to, you know, go and like, you know, wear your buff over your face at the, on the mat, mm-hmm. and explain like, oh, Sierra, like, yeah, that's an interesting look.
Oh, it keeps the bugs out, you know? Mm-hmm. Maybe it's part of high skincare routine.
Yeah, it's a great skincare routine. So I think that, or maybe we could see it maybe at Tribal Council instead of at the mat, where I think that, you know, they will have to find some way to tweak it a little bit so it won't be as obvious.
Yeah, I was going to say, or they could make the phrases less obvious, but that's the whole fun of it, right? Mm-hmm. Is that they have to do these ridiculous things. I like your idea of essentially like Simon says, but it's Jeff says, mm-hmm. you know? Come yeah. to the mat and put your hands in the air and spin in a circle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So I think that, you know, like, or like hand a papaya to somebody on the other team okay. And then explain why you're doing that.
Do you think they would ever bring in the aspect of like almost forcing someone to throw a challenge? Like, oh, when you dive off of the thing to grab the key, you have to miss the key or something like that. Like, would they ever?
Yeah, I think that would be very interesting to have that where, you know, if you make sure your team comes in third place in the challenge, then, you know, you will get, you know, an individual immunity idol. Like that might be interesting to see it, like how that would play out, because I think it sort of combines people looking for idols during the challenge. And also it was so fun last season. Remember when Danny and Deshaun were trying to throw the challenge?
Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking. That was amazing. I would love to see something like that. I think they'd have to do it in a reward challenge, though.
Mm-hmm.
I think trying to get people to throw immunity to get an immunity idol could get a little dicey for whoever gets voted out.
Mm-hmm.
Of, oh, I was only voted out because, you know, production said that this person has to throw the challenge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they should make it like a really good reward.
Yes.
Like
yeah,
for first yeah. and second place.
Yes. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. And with the phrases, a couple questions.
Yes.
First, how exact do the phrases need to be? Because in the last episode, I don't think anyone said it.
No. I think that it is very liberal on the what is accepted. I think if you get the keywords of like soccer, grace, cry.
They're counting.
You're good. If you a bunny rabbit, you know, mailbox, classic story, I think you're good.
Yeah. And I think everyone except Marianne over explained their phrase without needing to and almost drew more attention to it. I think Marianne's phrase needed to be explained, right? Like you can't just say that and then move on.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole like the potatoes have skin and the grace of soccer, I think those could have just been kind of like said and not dived into a whole story explaining it. I almost think that drew more attention.
Yeah. But imagine that you're on one of the other tribes and you don't know what's going on. And you've heard Marianne say this classic story about the bunny rabbit in the mailbox eating its dinner like three times now.
Three times.
Say, what is wrong with her?
I like the idea of now Marianne just continuing to say it, even though the idol has been activated, because it's now like part of her character. Like mm-hmm. she has to keep up the charade with the other contestants. So they're not like, wow, she was really into this analogy or this metaphor, you know, a couple weeks ago and then never brought up again.
Ciara, I know that you create content around everybody's fashion, and I would love to know if you think that any of the survivors have any looks that you really like for this season.
I actually wrote something down about that. Who approved Omar's shirt?
With the emu.
And not just the emu, but it's bright orange. That looks like a joke shirt that one of my brothers would buy me for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, and we are supposed to have this very serious moment of him, you know, trying to do the ropes and this. And there's just big emu eyes, like close up in the camera. I cannot believe that they put him in.
You're
that.
Not feeling that one.
No, I love it. I love it. I'm just shocked that they did it. Like, I don't get me wrong. Like, I would so much rather have that than, you know, a plain t-shirt.
Mm-hmm. Was that a Beware advantage that they said, okay, you have to wear this shirt? You'll get a clue with Idol.
If you wear this shirt for 3 days, then you get the first step of the three-way Idol. Another 3 days, it's, you know, the second part. And he has to, the longer he wears the shirt,
yeah,
the better his advantage gets.
Yeah. Okay. Who else?
Gosh, you know, that's really the one that stood out to me.
Yeah.
Was just Omar's shirt.
Ciara, have you given any thought to what you would wear if you, because I know that Marianne designed an outfit for her to be marooned in once upon a time. I don't know if it ultimately ended up being the outfit they let her wear, but she has posted, she has posted in the past that she designed her own marooning outfit.
Now, I have seen one Miss Kelly Wentworth on TikTok, one of my favorite Survivor players, did a whole video about if she could choose what to wear on Survivor, this is what she would wear, but instead they put her in jean shorts. And I believe it was like leggings with like jeans or shorts or pants or something on top of it, double socks, you know, like double hair ties, like all these different things. So honestly, I would just go right to Miss Kelly Wentworth's TikTok and I would just use that as a tutorial.
You know, Kelly, I think, got sort of like typecast in that she went on the season Blood versus Water two. Was that Blood versus Water one or two you were watching in labor?
I believe it was two.
Okay.
Might have been one. I'm not sure.
Yeah, because her dad was a farmer. I think they like really tried to like, oh, here's, it's the farmer's daughter. And so she ends up like playing like three seasons and they travel her like in like an outfit that's not really about like who she is as a person.
Yeah, jean shorts and a flannel.
Yeah, because they keep like, oh, they're like, well, wear like what you wore in the first season. It's like, well, they dressed her a certain way because she was, you know, Dale, the farmer's daughter.
Right. Didn't I think maybe it was an interview on your past, but or in your podcast. But I believe Cochran said that they made him go buy a sweater vest because it fit the character. And he had never worn a sweater vest in his life.
Right. And then he has to wear it again in another season because it's like, oh, you're the sweater vest guy.
You're the sweater vest guy. And he's like, I've never worn a sweater vest.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
So, Ciara, tell me about, we haven't talked about the Ika tribe. Do you have any favorites from that tribe?
Remind me again. I'm so bad with the tribe.
Okay, it's the Blue Tribe. Ika? That's Romeo, Drea, Rox, Roy, and Tori.
You know, no offense to the people on that tribe, it's a little flat for me. I like Romeo. Tori has big Angelina energy, which I think could be really entertaining later in the season. Roxbury, we have seen like nothing of him, I feel like. So I feel like I am way more focused on the other two tribes, but I do like Romeo.
Yeah. And Drea has a bunch of advantages. Yes.
Oh, yes. Okay. So Drea actually is another one of my favorites, but I feel like this episode we were seeing a lot of her. But from the preseason stuff, I had pegged her as someone who I thought could do really well. After this episode, I was like, wait, what's the amulet? I had completely forgotten
about the fake blood.
the blood and the dirt, which did we get a resolution to that? Did they have to use the blood?
They didn't have to. No, that was optional.
Why would they?
I'm not sure.
Maybe just like a little sprinkle, but they like.
He went for it.
Yeah, he really did. Mm-hmm. But I had forgotten about the amulet. What does it do again?
So if all three of them have it, they can use it as an extra vote, which is like, so what? Big deal. Yeah. If there's only two of them left, it's a steal a vote, which is a little bit more interesting. And if there's only one of them left, it ends up being an immunity idol.
Okay. Okay. I like that twist. I do. Because I think they all thought, okay, we're getting something together. It's shared. We have to work together. And then pretty instantaneously, they're like, oh, actually, it's better for me if you're out of the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So do you think that they will end up working together, or do you think that they will start to turn against each other?
I think they'll start to turn against each other because I think it's easier, especially because it's, I don't think any of them told anyone about the amulet, right?
I don't think so. Not that we saw.
Yeah. So assuming that they didn't, they can just, you know, sow those seeds in their own alliance of, I don't know, I think we should vote out.
Yeah.
Hi. Like, I don't know. I get bad vibes from him. He seems like a big threat. I think it's pretty easy with no one else knowing for them to paint the other amulet holders. Do we have a name for that?
I think it's just the advantage amulet.
The people who hold the advantage amulet, they can.
It's not a good
them.
Name. Survivor it's, struggles with naming these things.
Yeah, that and Shipwheel Island, but they don't even call
no,
it that,
I
right?
I call
they
it Shipwheel Island. Yeah,
they don't have a name for it. It's just the summit.
Yeah, the decision.
Yeah, not and great. when they first did Shipwheel Island last season. I liked it the first time they did it. I was like, oh, this is cool. I like the prisoner's dilemma. I thought it was going to be a different thing every time.
No.
And I was here for it. And then they did it again. And I was like,
And it's the same thing in a whole nother season.
Yeah. I think Shipwheel Island would have been an excellent opportunity to test out different advantages and different little challenges and different little tests. Without having these huge consequences, because all you're doing is getting an extra vote. And mm-hmm. I think the extra votes are fun because it's not too much power, as you and Steven have talked about on Know It Alls, but it's enough to kind of add a little bit of a fun extra element to the game.
I don't even know if you need the wheel. Like, I think you just go there. There's a table. The table has an extra vote on it. And it's like, if you can both agree on who should get this, somebody gets to leave with it. If you can't, nobody gets to leave with it.
I like that. I think that's interesting too, because then it has to be more of like a collaborative thing. And it gives you the opportunity to kind of set someone else up to say, you know, I really think you should have this, make that alliance, or to convince them, hey, I really need this. And if you help me get this, then when we get to the merge, I will, you know,
and then use the hourglass, turn the hourglass over. You have 30 minutes. Okay. And then if you can't reach an agreement then in 30 minutes, nobody gets it.
That's great.
They could walk away and they end up hating each other.
Yeah. I think that's great. I love that.
Yeah, go ahead.
How would they get their amazing slow-mo shot the wheel?
Well, I guess so. I guess so. You need that great shot of the... But you get great, 60 frames per second, like going up the, to Shipwheel Island on the hike. So you get that. And
yeah. And I have to say with the hike, it's getting a little stale for me. When they first did it last season and...
I think we're done. I think this is it now.
Yeah, and they were like, wow, who was it that went on the hike? It was...
In the first episode?
Yeah, Shan and...
Oh, Shan and Liana, yes.
And Liana, and it was this amazing moment. Oh my gosh, we're in this beautiful place. Wow, you know, I'm bonding with you. I'm sharing about my family history. And now it's like, okay, yeah, we've seen it.
We've seen it before. Yeah, we've seen it. I mean, I couldn't believe they spent so much time on the episode this week for it was that they both did protect their vote. It was like, okay.
And they didn't seem to like make any sort of friendship.
Right. Nothing happened. It was a lot of nothing. Yeah.
It was literally Lydia and Roxroy being like, yeah, don't get the best vibes from you.
Yeah.
But I'll protect my vote.
Yeah. I mean, it's in the way it exists now. It's really like the best case scenario is like that. There's like a misunderstanding between the two people that go there. Like we had with Chanel and Omar, like that it was like, oh, I thought she was going to do this. Okay. And that's how we got like some drama out of it.
I'm still dying to see Omer's reaction when he finds out.
He's gonna look like an emu.
He's gonna turn orange and his eyes are gonna get all big.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested to see his reaction because I thought last week's Survivor was one of the best Survivor episodes in like the modern era. I thought it was so good and entertaining and engaging. Whereas this week with Ship Whale Island, do you think they could have just cut that whole segment?
I think they could have. I don't know what else they had to show us for this particular episode, because it really ended up with, like, I kind of thought, like, oh my God, is Lydia going to risk her vote? Because that after it was like, Lydia, whatever you do, don't risk your vote. I was like, okay, I won't risk my vote. Like, okay, well, that was like pretty much what we expected.
Right. Well, maybe they should have cut all of Ship Whale Island and given us, mm-hmm. 8 minutes of Lydia cracking jokes. I would like to see that.
Maybe. I guess maybe they felt like, okay, well, this is a good spot where we'll get Lydia's backstory. But yeah, I don't really know why they ultimately like spent so much time there for nothing. And not even That's any true. Information was exchanged.
They did give us Lydia's backstory, which, like I said, I'm mm-hmm. so glad they did that. But that was all voiceover. Mm-hmm. They could have done that with Anytime. Footage of her, at a challenge, yeah. snorkeling, laying on the beach, whatever. Speaking of snorkeling,
yes.
What were your thoughts on Daniel's decision to go do that when he had said, I can't swim in the challenges?
Yeah, so I talked to Daniel this morning on the exit interview, and he said that his rationale for doing that was because he felt like, okay, everybody thinks I'm scheming all the time. Well, if I go fishing, they can't think I'm scheming. And so mm-hmm. that's why he wanted to do that. And I guess that the challenge is, he can't control like his range of motion in the challenges, whereas like in fishing. But the thing is, I think he could have potentially defended himself against that, like had he known people were saying that. I don't think he necessarily knew that that's what the word on the street was about him, of like, oh, look at this guy, he can't be in a challenge but he can go in the ocean.
Yeah, and I don't think that was the nail in the coffin sending him home. I don't think it changed things at all, and so I say good for him. He was going home anyways. He got to snorkel and get a Survivor experience. Mm-hmm.
Did you enjoy Daniel on the show?
I did. I really liked him up until he kind of blew everything up at Tribal. And then I was like, man, Daniel, I was rooting for you.
Mm-hmm. I think that he is a fun character to have on the show. I think that his energy is like a little bit like chaotic in that, that if you ask him a question, you don't know where it's going. And I feel like that in like this live tribal council era, I don't think that that is like an asset that you want to have in your game.
Yeah. Did you get I haven't listened to his exit interview yet. Did you get a little sprinkle of what that would have been like in the interview?
Yes. It definitely felt like, that he did that in the same way that Jeff would ask him a question. He will give you like, okay, I'm not going to answer that question, but here is a different thing I want to talk about. It's like, okay, well, let's see where this goes. So, again, that's fun. I mean, and I think that that's good podcast energy, especially when you don't have only 15 minutes to talk to somebody. But in tribal council, and I think in an ally, I think you want somebody who's like a little bit more predictable in terms of like what they're going to be giving you.
Yes. Yeah. And that's another reason I'm still surprised that it wasn't just cut and dry. Mm-hmm. Daniel's going home, because who's to say he's not going to do that again at another tribal council, but this time the consequences would be way worse and could turn the entire tide of the game. He could smash the hourglass.
That's very possible. And you definitely could see a scenario where that he would do it because, why not? Hey, I'm on Survivor. I got to experience this.
Yeah, exactly. I got to get up and whisper and do it. Honestly, mm-hmm. I'm surprised
we haven't seen that at all yet in season 42. Do you think, is it possible that the Survivor producers might have said, hey, we frown upon that?
They put a gag order on the whispering. I don't think so, because I think
they like it too much.
Like
it too much.
I think so. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on the whispering?
I think that there is like good and bad to it. Like I think it happens too much and too often, where I think that like when the first couple times it happened, like, ooh, it was special, this is exciting. But then it's also, we like see a lot of whispering and then we're not getting like the audio, like lower thirded on the bottom of the screen. So it's like, okay, well, now there's movement, something's happening, but I don't know what it is. So now I'm just just sort of confused as opposed to being able to process what's going on. I think in season 40, I think there was a lot of it happening just to sort of like fake out in terms of like nothing was changing. So it would be interesting to see if it'll happen in season 42 and if that was potentially an adjustment that got made. I don't remember it happening so much in season 41. I mean, I remember the tribal council where Tiffany went home. That was a big one where it happened. I'm not sure if it happened too much more down the stretch.
Yeah, maybe they didn't like say absolutely no whispering, but maybe they said, you know, we don't want this to happen too much. You should only do this if you really, really have to and you're changing things up. Probably because of it's the same reason they don't want people talking on the way to tribal is that we don't get to see it.
Mm-hmm. Sierra, I know you said you had a lot of stuff. Do you have any other notes from season 42 that you want to hit us with?
Let me take a scroll back in my notes. Okay, yes, I do. I have one more thing. Are Rox, Roy, and Tori the only ones who don't know about the Beware Advantage?
So it seems like it in the entire game. Yeah, I would think so. I think that's probably right.
Were you surprised when Mike said it because he made the whole big deal about how he's not going to?
I was surprised that he said it because that he said like that had been his strategy the whole way through. I'm not going to say it. And then he did say it. I really think it came down to that he felt like he was going to need his vote at the tribal council.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
More so than the idol.
Right. It was more so like I need to say this to get my vote back.
Yeah.
Then I need to say this to get the idol, which if Mike didn't say it, who goes home? Who did Mike vote for?
So Mike, I think, was a vote for Chanel.
Okay.
I mean, so he was one vote for Chanel or the one of the votes for Chanel with Daniel.
Okay. So Daniel still would have gone home.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I
had asked Daniel about that, if him and Chanel had gotten back, you know, could they have gotten back together? And he said, no, they were not. There was no circumstance where they were going to vote two together.
Right. Okay. Okay. And then with the, okay. So last episode, not last episode, last episode.
Okay.
We almost had, or we could have had, we had the possibility of having a no votes revote.
Yes.
Right. So we have the four. Two get voted for, the other two cannot vote, so then it's a deadlock. What happens?
Okay, so in a scenario where that we saw at the Vati tribe, where or are you talking about in the Taku tribe potentially, where if Lindsay and Jonathan voted for each other?
Yes, in the Taku tribe.
I think at that point, I think that this is what I think that they would say. Okay. So Lindsay and Jonathan, you voted for each other. Okay. There's nobody to break the tie. I think that Omer and Marianne, you have to go. No, make fire. I think if they do two people, I don't think that they'll put two rocks in a bag. I think for Survivor, it's like, okay, if it's a heads up, it's fire. If it's more than two people, it's draw rocks.
Oh yeah. No, you're so right. It would totally be making fire.
They love you imagine people making fire.
Oh yeah, and can you imagine that happening in episode 4?
it would be crazy. That would be wild.
Yeah, that I think would be, and that's why I don't mind the mechanic of wagering your vote to possibly get an extra vote, because it adds in again a little bit of spice.
Yeah, Sierra, would you ever consider going on Survivor?
I would, but I don't know if I would be super confident in my abilities to win the game. Mm-hmm. But I think I would have a fun time. But my dad actually has applied to Survivor like 3 times. I've made his submission video.
Okay.
With my
editing skills.
Editing skills. Yeah. So
did they ever call him?
They did not. My dad has a really interesting story, though. He's a psychologist. And he is the dean of psychology at a university here in San Diego. And so his whole thing was, I'm going to, you know, psychoanalyze everyone and use these principles of psychology. And he's also super fit and does P90X.
Do you think Tori took his spot?
You know, I think they're very similar archetype. my dad does, you know, he's a little nerdy. He likes Harry Potter.
Okay. He could fit right in with everybody.
Yeah. My dad said that he'll apply one more time and then he's going to decide he's too old. So trying to make this last video really, really good for him.
Okay. Well, look, if you want to send it my way, I'm happy to, you know.
Really? Give some input. I will absolutely take you up on that.
All right. Yeah. I'm happy to do it, Sierra. Tell me, just give me some favorite players all time.
Oh, okay. I'm going to go start with old school and then we'll do new school.
Makes sense.
Tyson. Yes. Love him. He was also my winner pick for 40. So I really, really loved watching him every time he played. Love Parvati. Love Yule. Love Taj. And one of my favorites who hasn't returned, who I would love to see, is Natalie Bolton.
Okay. Very good.
That's all my old schoolers. New school. Love Christian Hubicki. Yes. I have, in fact, listened to the 5-hour podcast.
Okay. Yes. incredible.
Yep. I love Jeremy.
Yes.
I love Mike White. As I mentioned, I love Kelly Wentworth. And then a couple recent players who I'm huge fans of, Evie from last season. Yes. I adore her, follow her on TikTok, Instagram, and everything. And then Lauren Ashley Beck, who I actually met last weekend.
Yes. Where did you meet Lauren?
At the Fabletics swimwear launch party in LA. And I was very excited.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So just like out in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. We're at an influencer party and I'm like,
yeah,
oh, that's definitely a Survivor player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she's super fun.
Oh my God. She was so nice. You know, they say don't meet your heroes, but I'm 2 for 2 with Survivor players. Lauren Ashley Beck and Rob Sestranino. Wonderful people.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. That's nice company to be in.
Of course.
Sierra, is there anything else that's on your Survivor bucket list?
Oh man. You know what? I just love being around like Survivor people. Like I love talking about Survivor and that's why I love your show so much. And honestly, this has been the bucket list. I also would love to go to one of the live premieres.
Mm-hmm.
I have a couple, you know, kind of roundabout connections to CBS. So
you want to go to the finale show?
Yes. Sorry. Yes. What did I say?
You said live premiere.
Sorry. Live finale. Yes. That's been a dream and a goal. So I'm hoping somehow I can make that happen.
That's a fun time.
Yeah. Cause you've been many, many times.
Yeah. Well, you know, back when I was in LA, I used to go, you know, just about every season.
Yeah. And also another thing I'd love to do is if you ever do another live show in LA, I will absolutely be there.
Yes. Okay.
We
got some insight into a potential venue to do one again. So the dream is still alive.
I tried to buy tickets to the last one and they sold out. So I will be first in line.
Which
for the next one?
The last one in LA?
Yeah. The one right before the pandemic.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I wish we could have made it. I mean, things got a little hairy there, right before everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had a lot of cancellations, it turns out. So we could have accommodated you, but hopefully we'll have much better circumstances in the future.
I guess I should have rushed the door maybe not, but the next one.
Yeah. The next one. Okay. Sierra, just in case anybody is meeting you for the first time here in this podcast, of course, they've listened to all your Survivor takes. They're going to want to check out everything you're doing out there in the world. Where could people keep up with you?
Well, thank you so much for the opportunity to subtle plug. You can find me on YouTube, Sierra Schultze. I have a vlog channel, Sierra and Steven IRL. I have a podcast, Sierra Unfiltered. And then I'm Schultze on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter.
What do you talk about on the podcast?
We talk a lot about just life in your 20s, being a woman, body image, talked a lot about my pregnancy. We actually had the podcast on hiatus for almost 2 years, and we just brought it back a couple months ago.
Oh, so very I'm nice.
Just having a ton of fun with it.
Yeah. What else are you watching on TV besides Survivor?
But you know, I don't watch a ton of TV right now because I have a 10-month-old.
Yes. And you're super busy.
I'm super busy, but Survivor every Wednesday. Love it. I watch a lot of SNL.
Oh, okay.
I also go back and watch old episodes of SNL.
Do you have a favorite recurring sketch?
Favorite recurring sketch. I just really love Weekend Update. Mm-hmm. I could watch just repeating Weekend Updates of Colin Jost and Michael Che.
Okay. Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's fun. Ciara, this was so nice to talk to you. This time flew by.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so glad we were able to work this out.
Me too. And if you ever need a fill-in host for any Survivor content, and especially the wand offs. I have contemplated submitting one previously.
What was the closest you ever came to making a wand off? Do you remember the idea?
I think it was during, I don't remember the idea, but I had an idea and I sang it to myself and I thought I should submit this. And then I was like, nope, it's too much. It's too much. What if, do I say my name? Do I give a fake name? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But now I think I have to.
Okay. Well, if we ever get the wand off back going, I'll make sure you know about it.
Yeah, please do. Okay. I will be the first one submitting if it's back up.
All right. So you want to fill in for somebody on a Survivor podcast?
Oh my God. I would love to. Literally anytime.
Okay. All right. Well, Ciara, this was so nice, and I appreciate you making time and talking to us. And of course, check out everything else we're doing over on Rob is a Podcast. Maybe one day, we can get to 100,000 subscribers on YouTube.
I think that's not far for you're what?
Like we're right. 60,000? We're closing. We're closing. Yeah. We're closing.
You're going to get it. You're going to get it. And it looks great. I have them hanging on my wall.
Yeah. So when do you get a plaque at 100,000?
100,000 and then 1,000,000 and then I think 10 million, but oh my God. I'm never getting there.
Oh my God. I never say never, Ciara.
I think I'm happy with, I like being able to go to Target and, maybe just say hi to one or two people.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so much for making the time to do this. Thanks everybody for checking this out. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.
It may sound dull, maybe even monotonous, but this is what miracles sound like. This is the sound of a child's surgery being performed by a robot. Our personalized care leads to miraculous things. Like innovative procedures with less pain and faster recovery. Children's Hospital Colorado. Here, it's different.